Welcome to the Also AI podcast. Discover the latest advancements in artificial intelligence through insightful discussions with industry experts. Each episode will bring a fresh perspective on AI and addresses the real-world challenges, opportunities, and interests you as an IT reseller might have or your customers could ask you about. Featuring experts from Also and leading vendors, we explore diverse insights on AI.
Welcome to Also AI podcast. My name is Henrik Asserhave. I'm your host in the podcast. I am working for Also as a European group sales lead for commercial computing and also leading the Lenovo 360 covering Lenovo product lines across Europe. Together, we will have an exciting journey into the future. Each season of the podcast will be differentiated of different aspects within AI, showing the real-world applications and their impact. Every episode offers a new insight into tackle challenges and questions that might come to your customers. Maybe they have them already, or maybe they will have them quite soon. So, topic for podcast today is to build the AI-ready data centers for tomorrow. Where are we today? What are we looking into? How will we do data centers in a correct way to scale up the organizations to be ready for AI? So everyone talks about AI models. We are focusing about how AI works in production, but where should we start? How should we scale? And how do we do it sustainable? That would be the topics for today. First, I would like to introduce our audience that are joining today. So we have four guests. You will present yourself in a few minutes here. I will start with you, Jan. Can you tell me where you're coming from? What is your background?
Hi, Henrik. Thanks a lot for inviting me. So my name is Jan Baumann. I'm field application engineer. That's maybe more known as a pre-sales to many of the customers. So I'm the technical backbone of our sales organization, and I'm supporting, on one hand, our main customers with their investments. Mm-hmm. And on the other hand, I'm also doing a lot of trainings in the channel for these small, medium business channel customers. And I'm with AMD since almost 9 years now.
Good. So you're from a silicon vendor. Yes. So
yes.
Delivering the data or delivering the components into the infrastructure that we are talking about with Lenovo. And that would be a good handover to Simone.
Hi, everyone. I am Simone Larsen. I'm based in EMEA, and I lead enterprise adoption of infrastructure solutions within Lenovo. So I work primarily with the ESMB segment, and it's really about how do we get them on that path of scaling AI. Most organizations start experimenting in the cloud, but as mm-hmm. AI maturity and adoption increases, they are looking at a hybrid approach or data center approach, and that's where I come in.
Looks really good. So thank you and welcome, Simone, as well. A hand over to you, Alexandra.
Hello, Henrik, and thank you for the invitation. I'm Alexandra Sanake. I am a sustainability consultant here at Lenovo, leading IT decarbonization engagements across EMEA. And what I do is basically help enterprises reduce their environmental footprint of their technology and building practical roadmaps that cut energy use, water consumption, waste, and emissions across data centers and device fleets.
And that is a topic that is becoming more and more relevant. Some have maybe not faced it yet, but that is something that will really be a higher interest within the next 1, 2, 5, 10 years from now. So really interesting view what we're looking at there. And finally, my good colleague, Tim. Tim, will you introduce yourself?
Yep. Hi, my name is Tim, and thank you for inviting me, Henrik. I work with Also as a pre-sales specialist. So I work mainly with partners and customers on seeing how we can help them on their infrastructure solutions, pretty much supporting as a technical consultant for AI projects for our partners and customers. So we are starting to see a lot of excitement around AI, and our SMBs are asking how can they join in on this market. So this is my perspective today on how we can help them.
Thank you, Tim. Let's warm up a little bit here. So where are we today? What are we looking into? So let me first of all start with a super simple question. So do you believe that power and cooling are now bigger constraints into AI scaling more than the compute itself? And it's free just to break in now.
I absolutely do. Thank you for that question. So I think we all hear of these big deals, and AMD recently announced some big deals with major customers investing into something like 6 gigawatts of installed total power. That's like what 6 nuclear plant blocks can deliver, and absolutely that will be a constraint more than other resources and will be needed to be built up in the certain countries where these data centers are being built up. And it's also important to make sure that the cooling does not eat like 30 to 40% of that power. And that's where liquid cooling comes into play.
Okay, good. Let's see where we are going there. So a hard introduction, going into big problems already by now, but that is something we want to talk about and how we can find good solutions. So jumping into sustainability from that. So do you believe that sustainability decisions are being made too late in the planning from where we are today?
Henrik, my opinion is that we fail at planning for sustainability since the beginning, yes. So okay. Sustainability comes in a little bit late. And then if we talk about power and cooling technology specifically, there's also a lack of internal alignment between different departments in a company. So let me just give you a very simple example. Mm-hmm. If we think about liquid cooling technology, now, procurement department might be happy because they will use less energy, so they will pay less for their energy bill. The sustainability team will be happy because they reuse the heated water from the system in their facilities. So yeah, there is circularity in the resources that they use. The IT department will be happy because they will have an interesting technology built in. But then to make it happen, they just might need to break through a few walls. So the facilities team will have something to say about that. Mm-hmm. So when we talk about cooling technologies and sustainability, there's also a need to look across the board at what impact that specific solution has inside the company, throughout different departments, and start making that alignment and plan for sustainability and infrastructure all together from the start.
So good thoughts about how to plan in time and how we are delivering the next generation of the AI structure. Do you believe that organizations are ready for a hybrid AI solution from where they are today in the way that they are building AI facilities within the organization? Where do you think they started? Do you think they are ready to do a hybrid solutions, meaning that cloud and on-premise?
I can weigh in on that. It's Simone. So what I'm seeing, particularly in EMEA, is exactly what I mentioned when I introduced myself. So they're starting with POVs and proof of values and minimum viable product experiments in the cloud, right? The challenge they're often getting to is when they decide to scale those workloads, those AI workloads, into production. And they come up against a number of issues. It might be data sovereignty, the EU AI Act, or regulation within their own industry. And that's where the aha moment comes. And, you know, kind of like the sustainability topic, they have to take a step back and assess, A, are they ready? B, what it actually means to be hybrid? C, is it a CapEx or OpEx discussion, mm-hmm. right? And how do they break through that? So it's not that they're not ready. I don't think they're really thinking about it from the start.
Let's see where we're in. Let's jump to the first topic that I would like to cover here. So power and permitting, how we are scaling in the world we are in, so we cannot change what is outside the organization or how the behavior is in the market we are in, but how can we do that there? So maybe to you, Simone, again, so when power availability and permitting is delayed and shows a slow expansion, how should organization rethink the capacity when they're planning AI development?
I think they should have a view of where the compute needs to reside, right? So it's all about, to gain those efficiency, it's all about bringing the compute close to the data, right? And that's where they really see the gains in latency, in the total cost of ownership for that AI algorithm and that model. So I think it's all about just having a holistic look about their AI workload estate, and then trying to figure out how do they bring the compute as close as possible to the workloads that need it, right? Some do not. Some can be a bit latent. So I think it's a holistic strategic look at how they can flex the levers to maximize the power and cooling for certain workloads, because it will bring that cost down and it will bring that sustainability lever up, and how they will then perhaps minimize some workloads accordingly. There is a play that can be made, obviously, with the Infrastructure Solutions Group solution, and it can be a case of trying to figure out, is it best to, you know, leverage a CapEx model through our TrueScale offering, or is it really retrofitting their data center? Sorry, the OpEx is the TrueScale, and then the CapEx is looking at the data center refresh.
So just to make a reference from what we had in the podcast just before this, is when we talked about the PCs and how to develop AI models on the PC. Now we're looking into how can we do it within the organization and putting that closer to the people that are actually using the models. So for you, Jan, when you're looking at it from your point of view with AMD, how is the AMD putting efficiency per watt into the organizations to increase like the optimize the way of building data centers with AMD? Does that make sense to look into that?
Absolutely. So thank you for that question. AMD is actually not always known by all these IT decision makers for being so sustainable. There were some times in the past when we were not so focused on efficiency, but in the meantime, we totally shifted our focus also in the design phase of our products. So from the beginning on, we really design our products to be as performing and as efficient as ever possible. And that's also can be seen even in the top 500 supercomputer list, where AMD really offers number one and two of the supercomputers. And more importantly, you can see if you look up the data there, we consume less than 50% of the power per flop in that case as the number three, which is from a competitor. So we can really show even in the biggest scale you can get today on the planet that we are more than two times more efficient than others using the GPUs and the CPUs as a combination in these supercomputers.
Okay, so
AI is quite the same workload, I would say.
Yeah, so mixing that in the way that you are doing that is also taking down the power consumption from the data centers in order to be more stable in the way that we are developing the AI data centers. And that is, of course, something that you need to be aware of when you do the investment. That is not something you can do after the investment is done. That is something you should consider already from beginning there. So, Tim, you are facing the customers on a daily level, how they are doing. So when customers are hitting the power limits, what can be the practical way to balance the projects instead of they are just stalling and they take other decisions? But what can we do there?
The focus shifts to, well, how much performance per watt. So that's where AMD helps, because they can focus on getting better equipment for it. And we're trying to scale on what they have, because we can't just get more power when there isn't. And we have a lot of issues coming when how much room is it going to take and the cooling capacities and rack densities. So that this is the real limits we are hitting with the small customers. They don't have the room for it or the power. So that's where we need to scale till the needed levels.
Does that also mean that maybe remodifying the data center when they have something already, they need to scale it up, maybe you should convert a lot of it just to see if you can get the same power and more power when you're operating, but with less power consumption, also maybe less cooling and everything there?
There's a lot of decisions to be made. So they're trying to move it to a hybrid setup more, so they can have little bit of both with both liquid cooling and hybrid cooling for air cooling, and then trying to see if they can do something where they have to move some of it to the cloud while still having on-premise for more sensitive things.
Great. It already looks quite interesting. Alexander, I would like to say, because you have it from a service point of view as well, and I know yet when you look into this, you are more into the right sizing. So how can we say that this is done in a right sizing way? How can we help the customers to do that?
Exactly, Henrik. So what I see quite often, especially in the early AI project, is that sustainability challenges don't start at scale. They actually start much earlier in the experimentation phase because teams don't know yet what they need. So they tend to over-provision more compute, more capacity, just to be safe. And that creates cost, but also unnecessary carbon before the project even proves value. So for me, the AI-ready infrastructure is not just about scaling up. The real opportunity is to design for flexibility from the beginning. So start small, test, iterate, and then scale based on actual usage rather than assumptions. Because if your infrastructure can adapt to real workloads, you basically avoid idle capacity, you reduce wasted energy, and you don't bring in hardware that you don't actually need just yet. So this is where flexible models like Lenovo TruScale become very relevant from a sustainability perspective by allowing to align that capacity with actual usage instead of locking in assumptions too early. And this is particularly important for the SMBs because they don't have the margin for trial and error at scale.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So right sizing is not just about efficiency here. It is what actually makes AI adoption possible in a more controlled, lower risk way in this context.
Okay, makes sense. With that, I would say let's jump into our next topic. That is about liquid and hybrid cooling. That might be something that is new to a lot of people, and that is something that we will look more into in the future as well. So Jan, from a silicon point of view, when you do look at how cooling are being made, so the GPU heat or the heat from the GPUs are increasing heavily. When does air cooling stop being possible?
It depends a bit on how big you build these servers. So there are solutions available still today where you can have like a 8U, 6U, 10U server, so big, huge box. And that can still be air-cooled with all these up to 8 big GPUs in there. Mm-hmm. And there are solutions also with Lenovo available using these GPUs. The issue here is more that, coming back to that sustainability thing, something like 30 to 40% of that total server when it's being air-cooled is just consumed by the fans in there to cool the system.
Okay.
And so it would be more sustainable to invest that additional power. That's what we did with our current GPU generation. There's an option of the MI350 and 355X using 1,000 watts per GPU. And that can be air-cooled. That's intended to be air-cooled. And then there's another option of 1,400 watts, where we actually took that budget from the fans and said, okay, we consume it, and then it needs to be liquid-cooled in most of the cases.
Okay, yeah.
And then you get way more performance out of your power, but you need to invest into that direct liquid cooling or hybrid cooling solutions.
Yeah, so a shift being made there from your side as well. Okay. Simone, from a Lenovo point of view, so how do you help your customers to choose the right design to balance all that?
So I think it's the right design comes back, especially for AI, to, again, their workloads, again, to having a bigger view of, is it that they want to transform a particular business unit? Do they want to transform a business process or they want to transform their organization as a whole, right? So with Lenovo, we have scalable solutions leveraging our Neptune liquid cooling technology that's built 3.5 times better to deliver thermal efficiency with 100% heat removal. So with liquid cool, they are able to start small, provision the right infrastructure in a manner that will reduce power and cooling costs, right? The Neptune solution uses 40% less energy, and it reduces that energy with a fanless direct liquid cooling or liquid assisted cooling. So it's trying to figure out where they want to start and what is that right size infrastructure roadmap and path leveraging the liquid cooling technology that would best get them to that outcome.
So with that said, I would do a handover to Tip, because Tip, you have the face-to-face with the customers on a daily level. So what concerns are you facing with the customers when you talk about liquid cooling, hybrid cooling, or what you have? What dialogue do we have today about that?
Well, the dialogue today is mainly the pricing for them, because they have to, again, when we start to looking into AI, a lot of small customers want to get into this AI and not sure where to start. So we have to look into the whole setup on what they have of room and what their price ranging and sizing is. So that's why we tend to start by asking what do they need it for. And a lot of people actually don't know this yet. They want to get in on the AI market and the whole wave of this AI data centers, but they actually don't know what they want to use it for. So we have a lot of communication in start. It's okay, where do you want to start? How much do you actually need? So that's where we are at the moment.
So that is a surprise to some of the customers, which is also why we have the podcast, that is to inform about how the situation is. So from a service point of view, Alexandra, are you into that, how to balance the cooling and the heat that is coming out from the new investments that the customers are doing?
Yes, absolutely. And I would actually also go a little bit further than that, because yes, in core environments, AI is increasing compute density significantly. So technologies like Lenovo Neptune, liquid cooling become essential to sustain performance in a more energy efficient way. Now, if we look at how AI is being deployed, we can talk about hybrid and it not being a choice anymore, but the default nowadays. So in a hybrid world, what we see is workloads that are moving between cloud, on-premise, and increasingly the edge, depending on where the data is. And it means looking at what latency you need and how much control you want. And that has a direct impact on both cost and energy. So for example, pushing everything to centralized environments, it is not always efficient. In some cases, running inference closer to where the data is generated reduces data movement and improves responsiveness and lowers overall energy demand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So this is where SMBs can really participate in AI by using edge and distributed models instead of trying to replicate large-scale data centers.
Yeah.
But to really manage that sustainability layer, organizations will need visibility. So this is where tools like LISA, Lenovo Intelligent Sustainability Solutions Advisor, can help translate infrastructure choices into lifecycle carbon impact at the endpoint level, where many organizations still lack visibility today. So what this does is basically it allows fleet management decisions to be guided by real data. And at the end, sustainability is not just about optimizing infrastructure and energy in isolation. It is about making adapted and informed decisions across the entire system, depending on the business size and business model.
So a great aspect to look into there. So you talked a little bit about edge as well, and that will lead us into going to the next topic where we say, okay, from edge to data center, or you can call it a hybrid AI in practice, let's go into that topic and see how we can dive a little bit deeper into that. So, Simone, when you are looking at hybrid AI, why is hybrid AI becoming the default architecture rather than an optimization?
I think it's the default. So what I'm seeing with customers who are truly scaling AI is that they realize it's not an either or conversation, right? So it's not either cloud or on-prem, right? So it's having a look at where the data is collected, how do they reduce that latency, and how do they bring the compute and the processing closer to the data. So for example, if you are a SMB in retail, or even on the manufacturing floor, and you're collecting data either about customer throughput or you're collecting data about the operations of your shop floor, it's prudent to have a think about how do you localize that data collection, do the processing on site, and then perhaps send it to the data center or send it to the cloud. Organizations are really having a relook as to what does it really mean to have a data center first approach or a cloud first approach in today's AI, fast moving AI environment. And they're realizing that the architecture is there to support hybrid, the infrastructure is there to support hybrid, and it's about how to contextualize that for them and their organization and their workloads.
Okay. Yeah. And Jan, from an AMD point of view, so how do AMD platforms enable AI workloads to move across from edge and to core environments?
Yeah, so we have all the different ingredients that are needed for AI. We are the supplier having the broadest portfolio in the market. So there's one that always puts a big GPU on every AI problem or challenge. Mm-hmm. There's another one that always puts a CPU on that. And we have both worlds, and we are heavily working on broadening our portfolio. So we, in the meantime, acquired companies having programmable logic for building accelerators. That's also the technology that goes into our client devices called an NPU, Neural Processing Unit. And we also work heavily and invest into open standards for putting all that together. So we have, on one hand, a new product supporting open Ultra Ethernet, which is a bit of our own approach to also connect all these servers well together, no matter of how many these are and how big these are. And we also have an open standard called Ultra Accelerator Link. So that's the counterpart to NVLink to connect together all these big GPUs in the super data centers. But that's not so much relevant for these small, medium business customers we are talking about today. So here it's more important to have the right product in place from the big data center, even to the edge, where there are also edge servers offered by Lenovo, where you can put in some small accelerator cards, maybe PCI Express, GPUs, things like that. And AMD also has these GPUs. And we are coming up with more, so please stay tuned for PCI Express solutions here.
And you talked about NPU, just to mention that we talked about NPU in the last podcast. So if the audience is not really aware of the NPU, then you can just go back and listen to the other podcast, and then you will have more deep dive into that. So, Tim, as being so close to the customers as you are on a daily level, do you have some examples to where each AI has delivered faster decisions?
We had a case with a local factory, actually, some time ago, where they actually put in these edge computers for monitoring the belts and what product was going across. So this is a point where they actually take it all the way to the edge point and process the data out here instead of moving it back to a data center. And so you reduce all this latency and avoid the data movement. So they can reduce the cost and networking and all this as well. So that's actually a case where they use the edge computing on the edge of the whole process.
So if the customer facing like a high cost or high time consumption, then it might be interesting to look into how edge computing and on-premise data center can maybe solve some of it with AI solutions, so they can take the production or whatever topics they're looking at from a customer point of view, that they can maybe rework the cost and redefine that for the future.
for example, some of the larger factories, they maybe don't have a room for a data center, but they need this AI computing on premise. So instead of having these offsite and having to move all this data, they just get the edge computing all the way out to the factory floor instead. So that's a huge benefit. So you'd reduce a lot of cost for networking and latency. So that's where edge computing can actually help the customers.
To put it closer to where things are really happening. So based on services, Alexandra, coming from edge to data center, what problems can we face here?
Look, what I'm hearing from all of my co-speakers today is the need for resource management, whether it is space, energy, and compute power. So one thing that I think is still underestimated in the AI discussion is the impact of hardware lifecycle. Because new workloads and new performance requirements, they often give the instinct to replace infrastructure faster. So AI is basically accelerating refresh cycles. But that has a direct impact on embodied carbon, especially in servers and endpoints. So if we talk about those AI-ready data center, we also need to talk about how long that infrastructure actually lives and what happens to it afterwards. Extending the usable life of an equipment is one of the most immediate and practical ways to reduce scope three emissions and decrease total cost of ownership. So you get carbon out and cost out altogether. Now, thinking about life cycle from the beginning, and you remember we were talking about planning from the start, that means planning not only for budget from a procurement perspective, but also for the maintenance, redeployment, recovery, refurbishment, and end-of-life management. This is where, for example, services like Lenovo Asset Recovery allow organizations to securely recover assets at end of life and also capture residual value through financial credits. So sustainability and financial return start to align, but we need to plan for it at each refresh cycle. Yeah. And when these elements are structured, sustainability stops being a reporting exercise, you know, and it becomes something that you can actually manage operationally. So for me, I think introducing the circularity concept here is key, as it is part of how you design AI infrastructure end to end.
Great. Let's go over to scaling, and I will keep the conversation with you, Alexander, because you are into this as well here. So for scaling without losing control, so how do circular models like asset recovery and CO2 reporting support responsible AI growth?
Absolutely. The circular management of infrastructure is key here because it allows to dispose of end-of-life assets with security. So you get the certification that your data hasn't been lost and everything is secure. And then there are also environmental certificates for the conscious dispositioning of the assets that cannot be given a second life. So circularity in this case is key. When we talk about endpoints, for example, we can also talk about refurbishment and a second life for those assets. So a refurbishment service that basically gives a new life to the machines that you already know and you have used and you already trust. So it kind of takes out the unknown from the equation of using those secondhand assets. They're not really secondhand. It's just the second life of the assets that you already owned and you used.
And let's look into what, Simone, to you, and where do TruScale fit for customers who want to have flexibility but still retain applications and security control? And security is becoming more and more relevant. So security is one of the it might be number one topic, security, but how do the TruScale fit for customers that want that flexibility and application control together with security?
Yeah. So in my conversation with customers, what I'm seeing is that their aspiration to scale AI isn't necessarily grounded in the current state of their data center, right? So mm-hmm. it's oftentimes, oh, it's in need of modernization. And that's where that not only AI-ready infrastructure comes in and TruScale comes in, but those security considerations for AI. So when they're looking at which route to go, oftentimes TruScale comes up because it is a flexible, resilient, secure solution that they don't necessarily have to wait for CapEx for, right? They can continue with their long-term plans of their data center refresh and modernization, but act quickly, leverage the TruScale solutions that has security, privacy, and that hybrid approach built in to help them get to that aspiration in the short term. I think what companies are also having a look at is how do they localize development as well? So what we're mm-hmm. seeing is not only a look at TruScale, but a look at how do they empower their data science team, right, to build and train models locally, right? So circumventing their oftentimes antiquated data center in the first instance, and then pushing those models into securely using the TruScale model. So there are a number of considerations that are being made, but I think the inherent resilience of TruScale, mm-hmm. security and flexibility, and I guess option it gives customers who are on that refresh cycle is second to none.
I think what's interesting about TruScale, if we think about it from a sustainability perspective, is that it is a fully sustainable solution from the full ESG spectrum. On the environmental side, because you avoid over-provisioning, therefore you avoid emissions for the unused hardware. From yeah. a social perspective, because it comes with managed services, so it allows your IT team to focus on more higher ROI initiatives, and you deploy your human resource more efficiently. And then from a governance perspective, because it allows you to save cost from that initial investment, be more efficient as you scale flexibly, and also it has that whole circularity built in. So yes, I think from a sustainability and full ESG perspective, Lenovo TruScale is my favorite.
It's your favorite. It's good to have a favorite. So that is on the wish list for Christmas, maybe.
Yeah.
Yes. Jan, when you look at the scaling with AMD, how do you look at that?
So I think it's important we had that right sizing thing very often mentioned today. And I think that's a huge topic. And also customers using too much compute power to expensive systems. So where AMD comes into play again is to help using the right solution from the data center to the edge or even the client on one hand. And then also to use the right technology. We had that example of the production line. There you could even use some AMD programmable technology based on FPGA technology. Here and there we have reference projects with that as well. When it gets to the GPUs, we have the advantage that we can provide more memory per GPU. And we usually are better available than the other guy out there. And at somewhat the same price. Okay, now we have all these memory constraints out there, but AMD has a clear value proposition that you can do more per GPU, more models, bigger models than with other solutions. And sometimes it makes even sense to just consider using only the CPU as your workhorse in your server and doing some local inference. So use your model locally based on a CPU only. And here AMD has the advantage that we scale much wider in the CPU space of data centers.
Okay.
So yeah. Customers can choose whether they want to use maybe Then coming back to that cooling solution issue, maybe you may decide to use a single socket solution with AMD only, being more relaxed in your rack space and power use of your rack, and then put more servers into your rack until you're at the power limit of the rack and fill your existing infrastructure better, and then also give that infrastructure kind of a second life. And that's where AMD helps, because we can just provide up to like 2x the performance per watt and per socket than other solutions in the CPU side of things.
Okay.
Tim, the real customers, what do they really think when they're doing a balance, when they're scaling the setup, when they look at the risk and control and accountability and everything there? How do they balance and scale up and down when the needs are there?
Well, they look into all the parameters. So we look at the sustainability and we look at the need from the customer side. So they need the right tools where TruScale can help them to size it from the start. And they try to avoid getting locked in where the hybrid architecture can help them. And then visibility into the cost of what it will cost. I think that's the scaling they're looking to without losing the control.
If there's one thing that the customers don't want, that is to lose control. So I think what we talked about in all the topics we have touched today is having control of the data, having the option to be flexible, to have a cost-effective model, power consumption, cooling, everything has been part of the topics for today. I will ask now each of you, so if you can choose from what we have talked about today, we are closing down the podcast within a few minutes. What will be the takeaway? What is it that you want the audience to do right after this podcast when they're closing it down and like, okay, what should I take from here? What should I do just after listening to what we have talked about? Who volunteers to take it first?
Eric, I think...
We're all enthusiasts here. Yeah, that's so fine. So what would the audience, Alexander, what would you recommending the audience to do right after here?
Absolutely. So, like, after thinking through our topics today and listening to my colleagues here, I think from a sustainability perspective, what is clear to me is that most organizations don't fail on sustainability strategy. They all want to do good. They all have the strategy nailed down, but they do struggle with how decisions are made every day. Because when it comes to infrastructure, you cannot decarbonize through ambition alone. You decarbonize through life cycle decision. And it makes me happy to realize how sustainability consulting plays a critical role today as that thinking, linking layer between IT, procurement, facility, sustainability teams, helping companies translate targets into value-added operational choices across the entire life cycle. So, yes, I would say for the companies who are listening in to us, think about not only your sustainability strategy, but the next step about how you put it into practice and link it through your process end to end.
So because AI, maybe it's not new AI any longer, but still many companies would like to start with some AI closer to them and then creating the right platform from the beginning and get some advices to that. So a really good and hard statement. That's not an easy task that you're asking people to do, but it's really important to do it from the beginning. Let's see if Simone, if you can have also a hard one to look at just after here.
It's in a similar vein to Alexander. Yeah. I was just jotting a note down. So what I oftentimes see across EMEA is a sense of urgency to over-provision infrastructure. I think we touched on that. I think I would urge listeners to just take a step back and really assess what your short, medium, and long-term goals are for that infrastructure you have to provision in line with what the business units are coming out with and your overall AI strategy if you have one. And what I'm seeing is that organizations oftentimes buy a 7-layer wedding cake when they need like a smaller cupcake. So assess the market to determine what modular solutions, so I'm going to put a plug in here for RTX Pro 6000, which is a scalable 2U solution with a multi-purpose GPU that can scale agentic workloads, that can reduce the cost of tokenization, which is the new form of currency and measuring AI efficiency. So take a step back, assess how modular you can be in your approach, but also don't discredit hybrid. Just don't discredit if it's a or statement. It can be an and statement as to how you provision this infrastructure, yeah, improve sustainability, and reduce the total cost of ownership in the long run.
I like the way that you put in the cupcake. I'm getting hungry already. So, yeah, Jan, what is your takeaway from an AMD point of view? What should the audience do listening to our podcast and to take some clear actions, just like do this?
Yeah, so I would advise customers to think a bit out of the box. It's a bit in the same way that was already stated here.
Yeah.
Many still today say, okay, I always bought that vendor and that solution, and I will do that on. We are in a more challenging world today. There are availability constraints, price constraints, a lot around. So people should think out of the box and also consider other more open solutions to not get into some lock-in situations and maybe get their solutions quicker into their own data center. Yeah. Secondly, I perfectly agree with what was said already. Try to right size your solution, try to tailor it to the workload, try to use the right components in there to best address your workload.
Makes good sense. Tim, do you know who's the next?
Yeah, I think my closing for the customers, for the, whoever listens to this podcast, is that scaling AI isn't just about building the biggest systems. It's about we build the right system within the world, real world limits they have. So the cooling, the powers, the sustainability, and what they can do. So they can keep this control and evolve it over time. So maybe build smaller to start with so it fits the real use case, and then they can evolve it and get a bigger system. I think that's my closing points for this podcast.
So by that, I believe that we are to finalize, and I hope everyone that are listening that you are ready to build your next data center, starting from the small cupcake and maybe building up to a bigger one. So let's see what will come in. And I'm sure that if there are any questions, everything, then reach out to ALSU, to AMD, to Lenovo, ask what is it that you want to do, and we can help you with that, all of it. So really appreciate it to have you in the discussion. And I think that was really many useful experiences you are sharing and good advices for the customers to take with us here. So thank you for joining, and see you in the next podcast. Let's see if we find more topics to talk about, and then we might see one of you also again in the next season as well. Thank you. Goodbye.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
ALSU AI Podcast. Whether you're an IT reseller or simply curious, we hope today's episode has inspired new ideas and perspectives. The conversation continues beyond this episode. Share your thoughts and ask your questions. For more resources, links, and product details discussed today, don't forget to check out our show notes and visit our podcast website.